Welcome to the IC Maidan podcast. We are so glad that you've chosen to listen online. If you would like to know more about who we are, why we exist, our service times and location, or how you can get involved, then check out our website at icmaidan.com. We hope you enjoy the message today.
All right, good morning. Man, I'm so happy to see you. I'm so that you are here for week number 3 of Fearless, where we are conquering our fears, learning how to face our fears. We are just learning how to be fearless people, right? And what we've looked at the last couple weeks is the same as we'll continue today. As God's people, we don't have anything that we have to fear. There's no problem that's bigger than our God. There's no enemy bigger than our God. There's nothing that can overcome us. And the Bible tells us 100 times, fear not. Be not afraid. Take courage. God is constantly telling us, hey, you don't have to fear anything. I'm with you, and I'm bigger than anything you'll face. So we'll continue that today. Last week, we sort of had a funny video to start with. I could watch that roller coaster video over and over. It was so funny. So anyway, today we prepared just a little clip of just some kids getting scared. So one of them's kind of sad, but the other ones are funny. So we'll just take a look at this really quick.
I got it.
Jack, come here.
Hey, Dave.
Go, Billy, go, Billy, go.
What's that?
All right. That's just to make it a little light, you know, since we're talking about fears. I love the one. How many of you have had that experience on a diving board when you are so brave? I mean, everyone's saying, go, Billy, go, Billy. He's all bowed up, his arms out, going toward the edge, and then see how deep and turn around. Man, that's us in life sometimes, right? How many of you have had that experience in life when you left church on Sunday and you're walking like this out toward the world and then it gets scary again and you just want to come back in church and just stay here all week, right? You know, we all have those experiences. So today we're going to look even deeper about how to conquer our fears and actually how we should face our fears. And we're going to look at 2 scary stories in the Bible. You know, in the Bible, we have all sorts of stories. There's scary stories. There's action stories. There's romance. Everything you're looking for is found in God's Word. And we see people experiencing these things and facing things that are the same that we experience and we face in our lives. So let me start looking at these. The first scary story that we're looking at is in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Any story that has a giant in it is scary, right? This is the story, if you know the story of David and Goliath, this is a refresher. But in this story, there is this giant Goliath that is teasing and taunting and intimidating the armies of God, the army of Israel, and has fear in all of the people. Everyone is terrified of this guy, Goliath. And just some of the details of Goliath. For one, in this event, he was saying, come out and fight me. If you beat me, my people will be your slaves. If we beat you, you'll be our slaves. So there was a lot on the line here, and the army of Israel was terrified. But Goliath himself, he was, we read in Scripture, 3.2 meters tall. So he was tall. But it's good to get some perspective. You know, he's like, for me to understand, 9 feet, 6 inches. Or if you know cubits, 6 cubits. I have no idea what that is. That's why I looked it up in feet and meters. 3.2 meters tall. It helps us to understand, too, because this wasn't like the movie Jack and the Giant Slayer. You know, if we were reading about giants that big, we would think the Bible's just a fairy tale. That's ridiculous. There's never been any people that could hold you in their hand, you know? But this was a big guy, nonetheless, bigger than most people. Is anyone in here 3 meters tall? None of us, yeah? And his armor weighed 57 kilograms. So the armor he put on his body was heavy. Even the head of his spear, the tip of the spear, it was 6.8 kilograms. It's got this heavy spear. Imagine, that was just the tip of it. Imagine with the whole staff of the spear, all of this armor. He's 3.2 meters tall. I mean, this big, scary dude out there taking on all of Israel. And they are intimidated. He's mocking them, mocking their God. And at this time, David, we remember that became king, King David. This is when he's a younger guy, and his brothers are there in the army facing Goliath. They're in Israel's army. David is at home, and his father Jesse says, David, I want you to take some supplies to your brothers at the front lines. So he leaves the sheep that he's watching and takes supplies to his brothers. When he gets there, he drops off the supplies, and he goes to greet his brothers. And it says in 1 Samuel 17, verse 23, then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines. And he spoke according to the same words, like just taunting them and teasing them. So David heard them, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So here's this scene. David comes there, and he's with his brothers and talking to them supplies. And Goliath comes out again, and every man in Israel was scared to death, except for David. And he's looking around, and he is confused. Why is everyone so afraid? Why is no one stepping up against this guy? We see him say in verse 26, David spoke to the men who stood by him, and he said, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away this reproach from Israel? What's going to happen to the guy that removes this shame from our people? Because he felt like, man, we're being shamed by this guy. And then he says, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of God? Basically saying, who does he think he is? We are God's people. Who does this guy think he is? How can he come up against us, teasing us and intimidating us and mocking our God? Who does he think he is? And I like that phrase when we think about the fears and the difficult situations and the worries in our life. If we saw our problems coming and we said to our problems, who do you think you are? David was basically like, who does he think he is? Does he know who my God is? Imagine if you faced every fear in this life, every problem, every situation, and you saw it like this. Does this problem know who my God is? I'm not afraid. Does this problem, who does this problem think he is? Who does this fear think he is trying to make me afraid? Does he not know who my God is? And he's saying not just to defy the army, but defying the army of the living God. And it's not just, what does this problem think it's doing coming against me? It's saying, what does this problem think it's doing coming against a child of God? Does this situation really think it's going to beat me or overcome me? I belong to God. Who does this think it is? This is showing us how we should face fears in our life. So the people answer him. And then after this, David, because he's not afraid, he's getting all the negative words from the people around him. When everyone else is afraid, they don't like you when you're not afraid. Have you had that experience? When you stand up in a crowd and you're like, I'm not scared, I have faith, people would rather you just be like them. Hey, come on, you're putting pressure, you're raising the bar, let's just all be scared together. You know, that's how people are. Even here, David's not afraid, and his brother is saying, hey, why have you even come down here? What are you doing here? You know, go back. He wants him to go back home so they can be afraid but feel like their fear is justified. hey, we're fine being afraid. We're comfortable with this. Sometimes we can get comfortable in our fear. So his brothers questioning him, what are you doing here? And David says, is there not a cause? Is there not something to stand up for? Our God is being mocked. All of us are being teased and intimidated. We're being paralyzed in fear. We can't move forward. Is there not a cause? Isn't there something to be standing up for? And then even David's king, King Saul, says to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. Imagine all this negativity. David is not afraid. He's ready himself as a young man to go out and face this giant that is mocking God and intimidating the people of Israel. His brother is being negative toward him. Even his own king is saying, David, you can't do this. You're no match for him. Imagine all this surrounding him, all this negativity, all of this fear around him, and they're trying to put the fear on him. And then verse 34, David answers, and he says to his king, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Verse 37, moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. Man, I love this part of the story. I mean, think about this. I love what David is saying and his faith. We see his faith was built on seeing God move before. He's been walking with God. He trusts God even just in his everyday life as a shepherd. And because God was with him as a shepherd, he trusted that God would be with him on the battlefield. Hey, God delivered me here. He rescued me here. He was with me here. So he's definitely going to be with me here. You know, it just makes sense when we try to think rationally. He's sort of using faith and thinking rationally. If God's always with me, he's going to be with me in this situation. Sometimes our doubts, they're not even rational because we've seen God move. We know God says he'll always be with us. But then some situation comes that feels big, and for some reason we think, well, he's not going to be with me this time. God was with me there, and he was with me there. But maybe right here he's not going to be with me. I like how David was not moved by the size of Goliath. David didn't care the size of what came after him. Lion, bear, giant man, it didn't matter because his eyes were on how big his God was. Man, if we see our problems that way, all the problems, they all look the same. They're all small because our God is bigger than all of it. That's how David is. Hey, God delivered me before. He'll be no fear. He's just saying, who does he think he is? I remember a story when I was in maybe third or fourth grade in elementary school. And I may have shared this before, but this story really fits, I think, in my mind with David. I was in elementary school. I was not the biggest kid in my class, but there was this one big kid named Irvin, and he was a bully. Anyone ever face some bullies in your life? And we were out on the playground, me and my friends. We just wanted to relax. We wanted to enjoy our recess. And Irvin just kept picking on everyone, picking on all of my friends. And so something rose up inside of me that I thought, I'm going to stand up to Irvin. And I stood up and said, hey, why don't you sit down and leave everyone alone? And then he said to me, who's going to make me? Anyone ever heard that? Maybe in Bahasa, but that same phrase, who's going to make me sit down? So I said, I am. I don't know what I was thinking, but I decided I've got to stop this. I've got to take up for me and my people. And Irvin grabbed me by my shirt, and for the next, it felt like 30 minutes to an hour, he just threw me around the playground. threw me over here, picked me back up, dragged me around, slinging me around in a circle and let go of me. I mean, I was getting thrown all over the place until finally the teacher came to rescue me. And when she came over, she broke it up. She knew it wasn't me because I was a good boy in school. Any people good in here? Anyone so good in school that no one would even think it was you? I'm just laying there in the dirt, and she's like, it wasn't Chris. Irvin, you go to the principal's office. And then when I think back now at that moment, I won. I mean, think about it. My whole purpose was that me and my people would be left alone to enjoy recess. I was dirty. My shirt was ripped up. But the rest of recess, I had won. Our enemy was gone. There was no more fear on the playground. It was freedom. You know, my ancestry is Scottish. It's like on the playground that day, we're like, freedom! It was ours. Irvin's gone. No problems. No fears. We can get beat up sometimes and still win. You know, I think about that with David going out. Man, he was fearless, running out against the enemy. When we read this story, man, his response, who does he think he is? That should be our response. He grabs 5 stones and his sling, and he runs out toward the giant. When the giant saw him, he said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And then the Philistine cursed David by his gods, and he told him, hey, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And there was everything being thrown at David to make him turn around. No one thought he could do it. He didn't have the support of his brothers. He didn't have the support of the king. David said he's going to feed him to the birds. That's scary. All of this around him. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. Man, I wish I had words like that when I faced Irvin on the playground. How cool. I would have been a legend. Irvin, sit down and leave my friends alone. For today, I will strike you, and I will take your head from you. That would have been so if I threw a shall in there too, like, for today, I shall take your head. That would have sounded even more powerful. But I didn't have those words like David. Man, he's standing there. He is being made. All the fear is being thrown at him, and he doesn't even move. He doesn't take a step backwards. He doesn't turn around and think. It says he moves forward toward Goliath. And he's like, hey, today I'm going to take your head off your shoulders. Could you imagine how fearless? It makes me think about fear. And just to continue, he ran toward the enemy, pulled out the stone, slung it around, hit Goliath right in the head, and then this big man stops and falls on his face in the dirt. And David didn't have a sword, so he went and he picked up Goliath's sword and took Goliath's head off of his body with his own sword. Man, imagine adding insult to it. Not only was he beat by this boy, but then his head was cut off with his own sword. I don't want to get my head cut off, but with your own sword, it just sounds worse. And then the Philistines see their champion was dead, and they run away, and God's people chased after them. Man, all of this by one person that decided, I can be fearless, and I can trust my God. It turned everything around. Imagine that you can decide to have a moment in your life and be fearless, and it can change everything in your entire family. It can change things for generations because you decided, you know what? We're not running from this problem anymore. I'm going to cut its head off and take its power. Man, that will affect you, your children, your children's children. Imagine this impacted an entire nation. One young man standing up and saying, I'm not going to run from fear anymore. I'm going to make fear run from me. It changed everything for the whole nation. Man, fear is big. It's arrogant. It's obnoxious. It's loud, like Goliath taunting the people, like the negative voices from David's brothers, like the negative words from his own king. Fear will try to shout louder than God's whisper. In your life, man, fear is loud. And you have to try to get that sound out of your ears and hear God's whisper. It's so important in our lives with all the problems and fears and stresses and worries. We've got to find some time to just be quiet and open God's word, to read the Bible. We need to hear Firman Tuhan, right? Because we have everyone else's word. We need to listen. Hey, what does God say? That's why we're looking at David's story today. While all the other sounds of the world are quiet, we can hear from God and be reminded, you know what? I should be fearless. I can run at the enemy just like this young boy did. We have to make that time and be able to hear, because fear is loud, and it's like fear has a theme song. It's like there's music. Can we play a little clip of this sound? You know, when you watch scary movies, there's like a theme song to it. There's like music, and it gets in your head, and maybe you don't even remember all the situations, but you remember this music. Do we have that clip back there? It's just sound. Maybe it's the sound of silence. For me right now, the sound of silence is scary. There it is. If you've seen the movie Jaws, just that sound can terrify you. Some of you are looking under your seat for sharks. What about this next one? I told you I don't watch horror movies, but I know what this music is. And that's scary music. Melvin could probably do that on keys, or Helios on the keys right now. It's terrifying. Okay, that's enough. We're getting too scared. Too much. It's scary. Fear is like that. It's like it has music. It reminds you just the sound of it. And suddenly you remember back to some situation or some event in your life and you're paralyzed. When I hear the Jaws music, I think back to when I was like, whatever, 7 years old, and I watched it, and man, it terrified me. Just the sound of the music reminds me. And it can make our minds run wild. We can imagine things like I talked about last week with the ceramic Doberman, the ceramic dog. We imagine the worst. We think the worst possible situation. I've told you this before, but when I hear the Jaws music, it just reminds me when I was a teenager, and we had a family pool at our house, and there were sometimes I wouldn't swim into the deep end of the pool because in my mind I was hearing the Jaws music. There's no way there was a shark in the pool. But I just kept thinking, you know, like my imagination. It was this paralyzing sound in my ears. And the theme song that fear plays, it has lyrics. And that lyric that is often played in our hearts and in our minds is the phrase, what if? What if? You know, last week when I talked about that ceramic Doberman, I knew that dog wasn't real. I knew it was ceramic. But the thought in my mind was, what if it could come to life and bite me? Swimming as a teenager in my pool, the thought was, you know, what if there's a shark in the deep end of the pool? I'll just stay in the shallow end or just get out. What if? That's the thing that we hear in our minds and in our hearts. And often when we're trying to move forward and do things for God and we want to take a step forward and maybe take a chance or take a risk, or maybe God has told you to do something crazy and you're ready to move, and then in your mind you hear, what if? What if? Fear tries to be louder than our rational thinking. It tries to drown out God's voice. What about David facing this giant? Man, imagine if he was listening to what ifs. Here's just a few of the what ifs. What if my brothers are right? And his brothers were saying, "You should. What are you even doing here? You should just go home. What if my brothers are right?" Imagine if he was hearing this while he's walking out to face the giant. What if my brothers are right? What if my king is right and I can't do this? What if the crowd is right? What if God isn't with me? What if the giant kills me? What if I fail and let everyone down? And some of you have heard these things, maybe not facing a giant, but that thought of, hey, what if I fail? What if I disappoint people? What if I try and I fall? What if I make a fool of myself? What if I embarrass myself? What if I step out and it doesn't go good? What if I embarrass my family? We have these what ifs in our mind. What if? What if? Maybe you've heard fear's theme at serious times in your life. What if I didn't really hear God's voice? And you feel like God's called you to do something, or he's told you to do something, and you start to move and you think, hey, what if that wasn't really God? What if I'm hearing wrong? What if I take a step of faith and I fall? What if I try and I fail? What if I'm not good enough? You want to follow Jesus more seriously, but you think, what if I lose my friends and my family? I want to tell people about my faith and share my story, but what if they laugh at me and think I'm stupid? I want to change my life, but what if I fall again? What if I do the same things I did in the past? What if I can't be perfect? What if I've gone too far and God really can't save me? I want to go deeper in my walk with Christ, but what if I swim out to the deep end and God isn't there? And we have these what ifs. God's calling us to take a step forward. God's taken us to the next level. And there's always something standing there saying, hey, what if? What if you can't do this? What ifs? And the what ifs paralyze us. Fear takes over when we listen more to fear's what ifs than what God is telling us. We need to listen to God's voice. We need to hear from him. We need to read God's word. When you want to do more with your life and you know God wants so much more for you, fear will keep you from being able to move forward. It paralyzes you. Fear will stop you right in your tracks. Fear will hold you back. Fear will cause you to make the wrong decisions. Man, we should never, as Christians, make decisions out of fear. Man, this is the way to go, but I'm going to take this easy way. I'm going to make the decision based on fear. It has nothing to do with comfort or what's easy. What if I get hurt? All of these different things. I want to show us a quick video clip, and I think this clip may bring up different emotions in our life, but I saw this video this week, and I thought it was just a good illustration of facing fear. So let's take a look at this.
So, as you can see, we are here in the beautiful Golden Gate Dog Park. You don't go to parks, do you?
Mm-mm.
Why not?
No.
Why?
They're dog friendly.
Well, that sounds like a good thing.
To you, not to me.
Okay.
This exposure is going to bring up a lot of pain and memories from the past.
Hey, Marvin, stay with me.
This pit bull puppy comes around a corner. My heart, like, almost jumped out of my body.
Stay with me. You're okay. Stay with me. Let's do this together. You're good. You're in control. If you're backing up, you're running from your fear. We'll let the dog get closer to you, but I don't want you to back up. This dog represents 40 years of being in pain. So can I let the dog come closer?
A little bit.
Okay. Tell her when to stop. I'm gonna let you tell her, okay? All right, good. You're good. Do not look away from the dog, okay? Go ahead and come a little bit closer. You're all right. Okay, think of your family who is not gonna want you to suffer. I think you should pet the dog.
See, no, she's looking at me, no.
Marvin, come on, Marvin. Ooh. Think of your girls.
I'm a coward.
You are not a coward. You are a strong person. You're not a coward, Marvin.
I close my eyes and I go back in time, like where I was when I was 5 years old.
This is why you're confronting your fear, because you can't keep living like this. You can't keep living in sheer terror. Enough is enough.
Babies.
I know.
Can't lift my babies.
I know.
So much.
You cannot leave being afraid still. I know you're going to be scared, but you have to touch the dog before you leave. I'm sorry. walk up to the dog. I can see you shaking.
Oh my God.
Look at you.
Dogs know fear, they go after fear.
I know it's tough, but you're moving forward and you're regaining your life.
Wow. Man, that might bring up different emotions depending on where you are in your life. I mean, some parts of it are funny. If you laugh, don't feel guilty. When you see it at first, you're like, man, this big dude with tattoos. And then you're like, what is he afraid of? And you see this little bitty puppy. And he's terrified. Some of you that fear, maybe you have a fear like that and you can relate. You're like, man, that's not funny at all. It's sad. I know how that feels. And think about what they were talking about is for 40 years, he's been held prisoner by this fear. For 40 years, controlled by this fear. And how often, it's the same in our lives often. It may not be a little puppy that's making us afraid, but it's something in our life. And honestly, in God's eyes, it's no bigger than that puppy. You know, we face things, and if we could get out of our mind for a moment and try to see things the way God sees it. Imagine your life how God sees you. He sees you. He loves you. He's going to protect you. The Bible says he wants the best for you. Things come at you, but do you think God sees it as, wow, this thing is big? He doesn't see that because he knows he's in control and he's going to protect you. And whatever it is, it's just like that. So often in our life, he's just saying, hey, my son, put your eyes back on me. Because we get distracted and we keep our eyes on the thing that we're afraid of and we imagine the worst and it gets bigger in our eyes. And God keeps saying, hey, look at me, look at me. We'll go through this together. I've got you. I'm going to protect you. Nothing's going to hurt you. My daughter, put your eyes up here. Stay with me. Focus on me. We'll walk together. I'll never leave you. And God's telling us, hey, you can be fearless. Look at it through my eyes. Man, this life is short. Do we face things that hurt us at times? Of course. Every single one of us. Does God rescue us from every hurt and every pain? If we were to say that, that would be a lie. We've all experienced pain. We've all experienced hurt. But God knows that this time is short, and some of those situations for us, looking back, we can see how God was with us, and he's building us. He's trying to build us and make us stronger. God's focus on us is for eternity. This time is short. Everything here is focused on eternity. That's forever. We're just here for a tiny bit of time, and God is going to use that time to grow us and build us and to do great things through our lives to impact other people so they can follow him too. But ultimately, in the end, we'll experience pain and sometimes we'll get thrown around the playground. But in the end, we're going to win. And God says, hey, those fears, they're not bigger than me. I've got you. We just need to see it through his eyes. We don't need to be held prisoner by the what ifs. Carrie and I, in our lives, we've experienced what ifs. Different times in our life where God wanted us to take a big step. Moving to Indonesia from the U.S., everyone in our family lives close, and God called us here. That was a big step. There were a lot of what ifs. I remember even before that when Carrie and I were new Christians and we were both working, we both had an income, we had young kids, and we felt this calling very clear that God was telling us for Carrie to come back home and invest more time with the kids and homeschool them. We were going from two incomes to one income. That would have been easy if suddenly I got a raise and my income doubled, but it didn't. But God was saying, hey, just trust me. Don't fear. Just do what I'm saying. When we were planting this church and the what ifs, hey, what if we step out and do something risky and no one comes? What if? What if we heard God wrong? What if God doesn't provide for our needs when Carrie comes home? We all have what ifs. In your life, you have different things maybe you're facing, but the same thing. And fear keeps singing this song to you. What if? What if the worst happens? What if everything you imagine happens? What if it doesn't turn out the way you think? There's this other story I want to close with today from Daniel chapter 3. And this is one of my favorite stories in Scripture. If you remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if you're like me, you may remember the story because you have to be very intentional to say those names. They have difficult names. It couldn't have been just Bob, James, and Steve, right? I could have said that all day. Well, Bob, James, and Steve, but I have to say Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. In this story in Daniel chapter 3, there's been this big statue has been built, and King Nebuchadnezzar is telling everyone to bow to this statue. And here's three young men of God that decide, hey, we can't bow to that. And King Nebuchadnezzar even says, when you hear the music, and I have to think that music had to be the sound of fear. He said, the music is going to play, and when everyone hears the music, I want everyone to bow down. Then it was reported that the music played, everyone bowed except for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. King Nebuchadnezzar was furious. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 13, it says, then King Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage and ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him. When they were brought in, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? I think they just keep putting it there just to make it, you're reading it, right? If I was King Nebuchadnezzar, I would have just said, is it true, guys, that you refuse to serve my gods or to worship the gold statue I have set up? I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I have made. When you hear the sound of the musical instruments, but if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And then what God will be able to rescue you from my power? Man, that had to be scary music when it played. This decision, there's no time to think. Suddenly the music's going to play, and these three men of God have to know, am I going to bow to fear or am I going to stand? Am I going to be faithful to God or am I going to be fearful to the things of this world? And here comes the music and it's about to play. What's going to happen? All of us have these situations in our lives that we face and decide, is my decision based on faith or is my decision based on fear? And here's these three young guys. In verse 16, they answer King Nebuchadnezzar and say, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. Man, I love this powerful statement. I love even that they were, right? They're still polite. Hey, we will never bow, your majesty. You know, like it's so nice. They're being so powerful, but not rude or arrogant, you know? And then two things we see that we need to do with the what ifs in our life. And these are the two quick points, and then we'll pray. This is what we need to do with our what ifs. Number one, play it out. It means imagine the situation all the way through. Your what if. Man, what if the worst happens? Just play the whole thing. Imagine your worst case scenario. Does it change anything? Does it change who God is? And what if it doesn't turn out? Is God not God? Does it change what you should do? Should you have been fearful? Does it change anything? Play it all the way out with David. What if I am killed? And if David was killed, he'd be in paradise with God. It's not really a bad thing. It's normally not our plan A, right? Let's step out there, I'll get killed. That may be plan B or C. That's if you're Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, even if it's going to be okay. But when we see things from God's way that, man, this is short anyway, what is the worst that can happen? With David, God is still God. What if Goliath kills me? God is still God. I still act away. I took a stand. I was faithful to God. I was fearless. And maybe I inspired some other people. That's the way he could have looked at it. What's the worst? Play it all the way out. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what would have been the worst? Man, if we burn up in the fire, what's the worst? We'll be in paradise with God. We were faithful. We were fearless. We set an example to the people. We didn't disappoint God, which should be our number one goal. God is pleased with us. He's proud of us. Nothing else matters. What if? Play it all the way out. Does it change anything? Man, I was still obedient. I was still faithful. I still did what God called me to do. What does being afraid have to do with anything? Does God only call us to do things that are comfortable? I remember when we would go and go to the areas that were hit by the tsunamis or had an earthquake. And when we went to Mentawai in 2010, even some of our friends were saying, are you guys crazy taking your kids with you? We're in the little canoe or the sampan, you know, with our kids in it. Nemo was in it. A lot of negative voices and fear around us. Man. But we had to think, this is what God called us to do. This is what he told us to do. What does fear have to do with it? If it's scary, does that mean God didn't make it uncomfortable? Oh, this is uncomfortable. God must not want me to do it because he wants me to be comfortable. We don't really read that. Or what about these other guys that were extremely uncomfortable? Should I stop? Should I quit if I'm afraid? Does God only tell us to do easy stuff? What about David? What about Moses? Moses, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Scary. That'd be scary, right? Abraham, I want you to leave your home and just start walking. I'll tell you where you're going later. Man, that's scary. Noah, start building a boat. That's scary. Man, that's embarrassing. If any of you had to start building a boat that size in your yard, would you sort of have the thought, this is a little bit embarrassing? Once it got bigger than the wall and your neighbors could see it, hey, what's going on over there? Nothing. It's embarrassing. Man, what ifs would be coming? What if we never have Hujan again? What if there's no more Banjir in Maidan and I build this big boat and it's just there? Start thinking of what, it's difficult, it might be uncomfortable. It doesn't mean that God didn't say to do it. The second thing we need to do with our what ifs, and could I ask someone from the worship team to come up? We need to flip the what ifs. Just flip it. Use the phrase that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego used. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty, but even if he doesn't. Flip your what if into an even if. And even if it doesn't turn out the way I want it to, I'm never going to bow down to fear. Even if it doesn't look like I want it to look like, I'm still going to trust God. Even if he doesn't rescue me in the way that I think he is, I still trust him. Man, do you believe that God loves you? Then even if whatever, you're still going to be okay. Even if, flip the what if over. Even if God doesn't rescue us from this, God is still God and he still loves me. Even if I fail, God is still God. Even if no one comes, God is God. Even if the worst case scenario happens, God loves me and he is with me. He will walk with me through this. Flip it over. What is your what if? Flip it to an even if. Even if will give you strength. Man, when whatever you face, you just think, hey, even if. Everything's going to be okay. Man, imagine the strength that you have. Even if will give you courage. Even if will give you confidence. Even if will set you free. You're unstoppable. Even if will allow you to move forward. It will allow you to face a giant like David did and take a step toward it. Man, it is big. But my God's bigger. And even if he doesn't rescue me from this problem, I'm still going to move forward. He's still going to be with me. Even if will make you fearless. We're unstoppable when we silence fear with God's word and his promises. We silence fear with God's word. We can't be beat when we overcome fear's song with God's song. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Man, I love this encouragement of these these three young men facing the furnace. And I ended the story there intentionally. If you know the story, you know what happens. But really, when you read this, and they say, even if he doesn't rescue us this time, we're not bowing down to fear. Once you read that, really what happens to them doesn't matter. You know what? That wasn't the most important part. Did they burn up? Did they die? Did God rescue them? It doesn't even matter. What matters is they were fearless. What matters is that they had faith. What matters is they didn't let anything stand before them and stop them. In the end, though, God did rescue them, not from the fire. They were all three thrown into the furnace. They were all three thrown into the fire. But if you know this story, Jesus was standing in the fire with them. And King Nebuchadnezzar, he's watching. Here's these three guys. Imagine that moment when they're like, hey, I know God can rescue me, but even if he doesn't, I'm going to praise him. They open up the furnace, and they start marching these three men into it. I don't know what was in their mind, but they went on into the furnace. The door was shut. And then King Nebuchadnezzar, from the outside, he's looking in, and he's like, wait a minute. There's a fourth man in there standing with them. They open the doors. The people that opened the furnace, they were killed by the fire. They open the doors. These three young men come out. They don't smell like smoke. They haven't been burned. Not even their clothes have been singed. Imagine if in your life you have to go through the fire, but it's going to change everything. Even in the fire, God's going to be with you. What if you had that thought, man, even if I get put into this furnace, I'm going to stand strong. And there was God. It changed everything, not only for these young men, not only for their families, for their people. King Nebuchadnezzar, from that point, said, from now on, we are worshiping the God of these three men because their God is the only true God. Imagine if you went through the fire, but it changed everything for generations for you. Wouldn't it be worth it? That you're like, you know what? I was fearless and I was faithful. Can we close our eyes for a moment? If you're here today, as all of our eyes are closed, if you're here and you just need some courage from God, that you heard this message today and you're like, I don't want to be held prisoner by fear. I don't want to be paralyzed by the what ifs in my life. Would you just raise your hand and say, God, I need more of your strength today. I need more of your courage. I need more fear to be moved out of my life. I know you're taking me to higher places, and I don't want anything to stop me. Just raise your hand right now and let me pray for you. Father, you see the hands of your sons and daughters around this room saying, we will not be ruled by fear. Our decisions will be based on faith, not on fear. Nothing will stop us. There's no problem bigger than you. There's no situation bigger than you. There's nothing in this life that can touch us because we are your children. You open the things that need to be opened, and you close the things that need to be closed. And we will walk through this life trusting you. We will be faithful, and we will be fearless. Lord, bless your people today, Lord. Thank you for your words and the sound of your voice that can drown out the fear in our life and that can send us out in this world with a purpose, with a destiny, so that we can make a difference, not just for ourselves. We can make a difference for our families, for generations to come. Bless your people today. In Jesus' name, amen.